Hey everybody, welcome back to another episode of Random Chatter. This is episode number 179, recording on Sunday, May 20th, 2018. I am joined by my two co-hosts who valiantly carried on without me last week.
You left us.
I know. Well, you know,
the weight was heavy.
It was. I made you guys carry the entire load. We had a slight little weather thing going up here in Connecticut, and I was just swamped at work with we do chainsaws and generators and stuff, and there was a tornado that touched down right in the town I work in, so it was pretty interesting.
And no big deal, just a giant tornado. Well,
I can now cross tornado off my bucket list. I've been in a tornado, so you know.
Is that really what you want to have on your bucket list?
Well, it's just something I can cross off my list. It's like, yeah, okay, done that.
Do we put natural disasters on our bucket list, Luke?
Sure, why not?
No, we don't. What are you, Helen Hunt? Get out of here.
It's my profession.
Settle down.
Yeah. You have no idea how much I want to go to Hawaii right now. Because is the only thing I have not experienced. Earthquakes, tornadoes,
I don't know what to do with you two.
Hurricanes, all this stuff. And folks, not making light of it. This is my profession. So I'm kind of like a bit of a junkie in it. Oh my God, volcano is like the panacea for me. That's and I mean, there's absolutely terrible stuff happening in Hawaii.
Sorry.
What in the world was that?
Wow, Lizzie.
Sorry.
Eric,
I was trying to mute in time. I'm sorry.
I'm talking cool geological things, and you like sneeze or cough or vomit.
You're talking about storm chasing like Bill Paxton and Helen Hunt and Twister, you big storm chaser.
Well,
at least with a volcano, you don't have to chase it very much. It doesn't move very fast.
That's true. No. But you'd still have to fly out there because we don't have those. True.
It is truly amazing what's happening down there. And I feel for everybody who's in the path of that and lost property and in parts of their lives. But it's just truly amazing what's happening there.
Yeah, volcanoes are like one of those crazy, fascinating, old worldy things that we just don't think are still like active and happening in life.
Right.
But like, what a volcano? Is it like the 1800s? And that's what I always think with a volcano.
Were volcanoes big in the 1800s, Lizzie?
Yeah, I don't know.
I'm thinking prehistoric times, maybe.
They really had some great moments in the 1800s. I don't know.
Oh, Lizzie.
It's an old-timey year.
See, now, if I were Eric, I would say, so, Lou, tell us about volcanoes in the 1800s. But I am not Eric.
Okay. Does Lou know a lot about volcanoes in the 1800s?
I didn't think they were back then. I thought it was Lucy the one who brought that up. Go ahead. Don't put it on
Why
me.
Why wouldn't they be then?
People
didn't know about it, right?
Apparently, there was the first major injury the weekend from the volcanoes out there. And as far as I understand, it was, you know, it's an area that was given an evacuation order and someone didn't evacuate. Unfortunately, they got caught in proximity to what's called a lava bomb, basically where the lava kind of bubbles up and pops up in the air.
Ooh, that doesn't sound good.
It hit the person below the knee.
Oh.
And apparently, along with breaking both bones in the leg, you know, I have to imagine, like, this is lava, so it just, like, you know, melt you.
Scalds, right.
And that's got to be horrific and painful and just absolutely terrible. So, you know, folks, if you're listening to this and you happen to be in the way of lava, you should stop listening to this podcast immediately, get yourself to safety, and then resume the podcast. Find friends and resume the podcast. But, you know, life safety is you know, above all else. So get out of harm's way.
You don't want to get caught in one of those 1800s volcanoes.
No, that would be terrible. That would be absolutely terrible.
So I did introduce you guys. The voices you guys hear there, of course, myself, I'm your host, Lou, and we have Tim and Lizzie. I won't ask them how they're doing because Tim is looking for volcanoes and Lizzie is trying to get back the 1800s. But we'll get right into what we've been watching lately.
Lou, did you meet, like, Scarecrow and Tin Man and stuff?
No, I did not.
No?
No.
Were you?
What?
Did you have Toto with you?
Oh, because of the tornado. Okay.
No, we didn't have Toto. No.
No Toto.
Although we do sell dog food and stuff in the store too. So You know, but yeah, there was no dogs there. It was a freaky quick storm that came right through. And
was there a witch?
Many people without power. No witches.
A good one, a bad one.
Nope.
Big green castle, little people.
It did blow the door off our warehouse, though. It blew a big, you know, 14-foot overhead door off its tracks.
Were there, like, legs sticking out from underneath that?
No, not at all.
You have the most boring tornadoes in the world ever.
I'm sorry.
Gosh, I don't even take you to Oz. I'm rude.
Although I did hear somebody say, I don't think we're in Kansas anymore, but I don't know.
Oh, right. Well, someone has to say it, right? It's like a tornado rule.
It's like really cliche. It wasn't
me.
Like...
I didn't say that. It wasn't me. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. That was the next question, I could tell.
It's the tornado rule.
So, you know, so since then, I mean, that happened last Tuesday here, and I've been kind of off our shows entirely since then. What's happened to the network since I've been gone, Tim? I mean, you've been kind of keeping the store in order here?
All right. So there's been a whole crap ton of things released in the last couple of days here. First of all, last week, before you went to Oz, you might recall, maybe you don't. I don't know if you have some sort of, you know, thing setting in or whatever. I don't know. But Eric, you and me recorded an episode of Getting Sidetracked, and we talked about that movie and the book.
Oh, that's right.
Ready Player One.
Ready Player One. That seems so long ago. That was only last week?
Maybe 2 weeks ago. I don't know.
Wow. Okay.
All I know is, like, we started recording that at, like, 10:30, and I was really tired. So that just released today or yesterday.
Nice.
Also just released movie Rampage. Lizzie and I covered Infinity War.
Oh, nice.
Yes, we did.
Also released Dispatches from the Front. That was episode 4, which Tom and I covered. Guardians of the MCU, the official second episode of Guardians of the MCU with Liz and John and I talking, of course, about Infinity War. Like, we started to talk about Infinity War. We're getting so deep into it, it's going to take us like 10 episodes.
Yeah, we barely cracked the surface.
In fact, we're probably just going to completely skip over talking about Ant-Man and just keep talking about Infinity War.
No, we're not. That's fake news. You're wrong. Fake.
Okay.
You're fired. That's it. We have an opening, Lou. We have an opening. Welcome to Guardians of the MCU.
just tonight.
Tim's been fired.
Dropped another brand new podcast show. Not an episode, a new show. With Random Chatter. Caped Chronicles. Caped Chronicles is it's a superhero show. And they talk about superhero movies and characters and that kind of stuff. So different from what we talk about, Guardians of the MCU, where it's a little more contemporary and we're really keeping within the box of the MCU. Caped Chronicles is kind of talking about all superhero stuff. Their first episode was on the, 1977 Superman movie? Was that the year it came out, Lou?
I want to say 78, but 78. I could be wrong.
And the next episode they tell me, because that's with Mike, Eric, and Carrie. They kind of wanted me to tease their second episode a bit. And that episode, they are talking about the best Batman movie, which is the Tim Burton Batman movie.
Ah.
So I am really stoked for that one.
I haven't seen that movie in forever. I should rewatch that before I listen to the episode.
It has been on some network lately. And I've watched it like twice, probably in the last month. And it's just as wonderful as it was back in, was that 88?
Something like that. Yeah. That was the first superhero movie I think I remember seeing in the theaters as a, you know, a kid and going, wow. You know, it was like the first one that was like, ooh, this is a real big time production superhero movie.
I mean, I think I remember seeing maybe Superman 3. Is probably my first superhero movie in the theater, but then Batman, and I was obsessed with Batman.
I thought this was a much better production than, like, the Superman, because I remember seeing Superman in the theaters, too, but this was the first one that was like, wow, somebody did this right, you know?
Oh, totally.
Yeah, it has a different feel than, like, Superman always had that glossy feel anyways Batman doesn't have,
True.
It helps.
Yeah. And I remember before that, anyway, it's every time they have a new Batman, it's like, Really? He's Batman? I love the controversy over Michael Keaton going, really? Michael Keaton's Batman? Really?
And it's amazing how good he was. It's like,
yeah,
you know, Ben Affleck's Batman is he's okay. He's not bad.
Yeah, yeah.
But wow, Michael Keaton was just, he was a great Bruce Wayne. And I really liked his Batman. And he kind of like set the tone for what Batman in cinema would be. Yeah. And I think, you know, everyone since him has tried to capture that. By the way, I don't know if you guys saw, Michael Keaton did the commencement speech a few days ago at a college. I don't remember which college it was. And the very end, it's been circulating around social media, actual video of it. At the very end of the commencement speech, like, and he builds this up really big. He's like, I have, before I leave you, I have two words that I got to share with you. These are going to be the most important words of everything that I've said, and they are going to stay with you for the rest of your life. I'm Batman. And the whole place went nuts. It was great.
That's
and
awesome.
That's just awesome. That's awesome.
You know, I think you're right, Tim. A lot of guys have done justice to Batman over the years, and some have done better as Batman, some have done better as Bruce Wayne. You know, and they've all had their controversy leading up to it. But I remember going into this one going, okay, this is the same guy that did, you know, Mr. Mom.
Great movie.
But was Mr. Mom after this?
No, Mr. Before. Mom was earlier. Mr. Mom was like 83.
Oh, was it?
Yeah. Yeah. So he did Mr. Mom, Beetlejuice, which I love, but I'm like,
great
movie. He was Beetlejuice and he's Batman. Really? No, that doesn't make sense. Yeah. You know, he did Clean and Sober. He did Gung Ho. I mean, Johnny Dangerously.
Yeah.
And
Johnny Dangerously, good movie.
Close to what Batman was. And you're going, okay. Maybe.
Yeah.
But he did a great job with it. So
he's got a great film background. And I'm so happy that. Because he kind of like disappeared for a while, and I'm so happy that Michael Keaton has come back into doing movies because he's just this incredible actor. He has great personality, and his personality permeates the characters that he does. I mean, more than a lot of other actors, he doesn't suppress it. He doesn't hide it. He really brings that personality out, and I loved him as Vulture. You know, I'm so glad that he is back doing movies. So happy.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I am happy too.
So,
okay. So that does bring us up to date on everything we've had out recently, which is awesome.
Oh, and a new Tight Beam just came out too.
Oh yeah. And I didn't get to record that. It was a great episode too. And I was like, oh, really wanted to talk about it, but next time. So what else have we been up to? Lizzie, what have you been watching lately? Because yours is different. That we should put Lizzie between Tim and I because she has a different take on it.
I'll go in the middle.
So Tim, what have you been watching lately?
Okay, well, went out Thursday night, went to see Deadpool 2, really enjoyed it, liked it a lot, good movie. Not as good as the first one, but it's always tough for a lot of movies to be a sequel because, you know, that first movie always, there's a nostalgia factor. There's an impact factor, especially when you have a character like Deadpool, which is all character and you're getting hit with that in the first movie. And they continue a lot of that in the second movie and they expand on the cast and it's really good. I like it a lot. Folks, if you haven't gone to see it yet, I know Liz hasn't. Definitely go see it. It is a fun movie. You will laugh a lot. You will really enjoy it. Make sure you stay for the mid credits scenes. There are no end credit scenes. I'll tell you that. So if you don't want to hang out, that's cool. But definitely catch the mid credit scenes. There are a couple of them. They are absolutely hilarious.
Yeah, I have to agree with the tip. Before you go on, I'll agree with you on Deadpool too. I thought it was good. I saw it my wife and I saw it Saturday night. I didn't think it was as good as the first one. You're right. I mean, I think the first one had that impact of being new and different. And it did that, you know, breaking the fourth wall thing. And it was so unique for him. It was great. And then having a movie did the same thing, you got to top it, you know, they couldn't really top it. So some of the stuff fell flat. Some of the stuff worked really well. But yeah, overall, it was fun. It was something I enjoyed watching. And I'm glad I saw it in the theater.
Yeah. There were three small kids that I saw in the theater. The parents should be arrested.
I don't know. Two or three at my theater too.
Yeah. So I'm just gonna leave my statement in that because it doesn't need anything else to be said. Yeah. Watch the Gotham season finale, which was kind of crazy. And it's Gotham. So it's just like this kind of wacky stuff. Speaking of Batman, because it brings you into that Batman world. And it's kind of crazy, and there's a lot of stuff going on in it. The end certainly left you on a bit of a cliffhanger. They were renewed for one more season, so it'll kind of be cool to see how they pull things together in this last season.
Okay.
Also watched the S.H.I.E.L.D., Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. season finale, which also does really leave you on this cliffhanger with things. And...
okay.
And I'm not going to say any of this stuff if folks haven't had a chance to watch them yet. If, you know, maybe they're still sitting in your DVR, you get them some other way. as Lou just raised his hand and nodded.
Yeah. I've got three or four episodes of S.H.I.E.L.D. my DVR.
You know, definitely watch them. The season finale kind of leaves your head scratching. S.H.I.E.L.D. was renewed. They are not going to come out until next summer. So there's an extended period of time, and my guess is that the reason for that is that they don't want to have anything going on between Infinity War and Avengers 4. So
makes sense.
Yeah, it absolutely does make sense. We will probably talk some about the S.H.I.E.L.D. finale in our next episode of Guardians of the MCU. It's nice. is my guess. So those are the big things. There's other stuff, just catching up on the DVR. Actually, one thing I didn't add to the list that I do want to give a quick mention to. We had in our DVR the last three episodes of Black-ish. Do you guys watch Black-ish?
No.
No, but I was in an episode once.
What?
What?
I was an extra when they did their Disney World episode.
Were you really? Why awesome. Don't I know yep. these things? Why don't you tell me these things, Elizabeth?
It's my big secret, you guys.
Oh, my gosh. Black-ish is...
it was a pretty fun day.
Black-ish is an awesome show. It is fantastically relevant. The writing is great. The cast is great. They cover so many current, contemporary, timely issues while still being this phenomenal sitcom and just incredibly hilarious. The cool. last like three episodes though were real downers, and
really,
yeah, it dealt with marital relationship issues and kind of led the characters down the path toward divorce. Which, yes, is absolutely realistic, and I appreciate that Black-ish does get into a lot of these very real stories that are meaningful to all of us who watch it. But to spend three plus episodes on it, like my wife and I and my niece just kind of sat there, and it's like, okay, like. We got through the two, and then we needed to go to the finale. And I'm like, you know, because we were coming up on time to record this and stuff. And my niece had the remote, and she's like, "Do you want to watch?" And I'm like, "Well, we might as well get it over with." It was like nothing.
That's a great way to look at it.
Yeah, it was nothing that we were looking forward to, and it was just like this huge downer. Yes, they did integrate some humor into it, particularly into the finale. The two episodes leading up to it, there was practically zero humor in it because it was just so intense and focused. And again, I'm kind of torn because I really appreciate that they do relevant stuff like that. But on the other hand, when you're watching a sitcom, you want to be entertained.
Right. I mean, if you're watching it for the comedic aspect of it, you know, you don't want to have it to be I don't mind if comedies do some stuff, they throw in something relevant that's, you know, real world, and they're going to give you their take on what society is doing. But you can't do three episodes where it's just all kind of, and have it not be funny.
It was tough to watch. And especially, you know, if you are a dedicated watcher to it, and you're invested in the characters and stuff. And, you know, hey, my parents are divorced. I've been through divorces myself. So it's, yeah, you know, I know those feelings, and I know all those things that those characters are going through. And it's like, wow, this is, I don't want to watch this. I appreciate what they were trying to do, but I just, I hope that they kind of get back on the horse with the next season. Right. It is a great show. It's a fantastic show. So, you know, but cool. I wanted to throw that out there, 'cause it was very, very different.
Lizzie, what have you been up to?
This weekend I went out to the beach, and had a little vacation.
Nice.
And so I watched Dirty Dancing for the billion, million, trillionth time, because it is one of my favorite movies of all time. And it's not new, but I just thought it would bear mentioning, because it's my beachy choice of movie. And now I'm watching Handmaid's Tale, which is like the opposite of Dirty Dancing. Like the direct opposite. I don't know what made me start it. Like
that's on my list to watch too. I've had a lot
of people ask me, because it's just very like good writing. Like the visuals are just really striking, and the way they integrate sound into it is really particular. It's just hard. It's just a really hard show to watch. I watch most of the episodes like my eyes covered and my ears covered.
Now, is that in season two now, Lizzie, or what is it in right now?
It is currently in season two on Hulu.
Okay.
I think the episodes drop weekly on Wednesdays. They don't do a full season dump like Netflix does, which is, I do have to say, and if you follow me on Instagram and watch my story, you'll know this, but like, don't watch more than like two at a time, okay? Like, because
is it pretty draining?
It puts you in a dark place.
I watched four today, and I feel like off. I just feel like really, like, just aware of life. I don't know. It's weird, and it's not the right way to watch it. It's not how they're meaning you to watch it. They want space between episodes to like think about it, because it's just heavy material. And yeah, it's really good show. It deserves to be winning awards. The acting is incredible. It's just not like a beachy summer fun, you know, romp at Kellerman's.
So right, right.
If you're looking for something delightful, this is not the delightful thing you're looking
it's
for.
Not there a quick are other things. Up. Yeah.
Yeah, no. No, no. It's like I said, very great. It's a great show. It deserves every award that it's winning. And I've never read the book by Margaret Atwood. The fact that it was written in the 80s and some of the themes are just, they hit a little too close to home now.
Is really? It was written that long ago? I didn't realize that.
Mm-hmm. I think 85 or 87. I'm not sure. But wow, it's rough. I might need to watch Dirty Dancing again to like,
as a pick me up.
Get back into the Kellerman state of mind occasionally. I may just pepper Dirty Dancing in throughout just to like.
You should have two screens going, Lizzie. So you can watch Handmaid's Tale, you can look away and see Dirty Dancing.
Yeah. Yeah. There you go. So that's what I've been watching. It's not particularly delightful, but it's good. It's a really good show.
Sure. Well, like Tim, I saw Deadpool 2 over the weekend, like I mentioned, and, you know, it was fun, and I hope they. Hopefully they do another one. I mean, I thought, like Tim said, the end credits or the mid-credit scenes were really, really funny. And there was enough digs in there to the stuff throughout the movie that it's fun for the comic book fan and all of us to kind of pick up on those little Easter eggs they dropped here and there, which is a lot of fun.
So, yeah.
I'm looking forward to having it on video so I can watch it again, because I won't see it in the theater again, but it'll be on video probably in a couple months, so I'll be looking forward to that.
And he makes fun of everyone.
Yeah, he does. He does. let's see. I mentioned The Rain a couple weeks ago on one of the shows, a Netflix series that I happened to catch a preview for and thought looked interesting. And I caught the first episode so far. I'm going to watch the rest of it. It's interesting. It's a foreign film dubbed in English, so sometimes the lips don't match up to what they're saying, but other than that, the production quality is really good. You know, the actors are good in the sequences, and it's that whole kind of post-apocalyptic, you know, you know, how the world's surviving after something catastrophic happens, which is kind of interesting. And you're learning more and more about who's behind this virus that was in the rain that caused people to die.
Hmm.
So it was pretty interesting. I think it's only 13 episodes, but yeah, I'm on episode 2 now. It's pretty cool. And in working on cleaning up my DVR and getting things off there, I'm working with you, Krypton. That's the Superman prequel series. Right. On Fox, maybe? I don't know who has that, but it's interesting. I mean, it's nothing Superman-ish because it's before Superman was Superman, dealing with his grandfather and on Krypton, so none of them have powers. So it's basically just a futuristic society and how they're treating their people and, you know, what's going on as far as, you know, class segregation and the big baddie alien coming to beat up on them. So, I mean, it could be set anywhere. It doesn't have to be Krypton, but they're just using capitalizing on the Superman name, I guess, with that.
Sure.
But it's not bad. The actors are pretty good. The story's pretty good so far. But if you're hoping for, you know, insight into Superman, you're not going to get it.
Mm. Okay.
So that's about all I've been doing lately, besides selling chainsaws and trying to keep up with storm damage.
Helen Hunting.
There you go, Helen Hunting. In the box office this week, of course, Deadpool 2 reigns supreme. Its first week, it brought in $125 at the box office. Avengers Infinity War is in number 2 in its fourth week. It is just steamrolling everything. It made $28 million over the weekend, and it's up to almost $600 million domestically. So very impressive roll in 4 weeks. Book Club in its first week made $12.5 million in the third place spot. Life of the Party.
Lizzie saw that. She said it was fantastic.
Did she?
Yeah.
It was very, very, very funny. And our entire theater was just dying laughing the whole time.
Well, it's got a great cast.
It's such a good cast. It just, it's not like a deep thinker, but it's just really, I don't know. It's like, this is a good summer, like fun, enjoyable movie. Don Johnson and Andy Garcia are in it. Double like older man boyfriend vibes right there. I was a big Nash Bridges fan in the 90s.
I love Nash Bridges.
I live for Don Johnson.
Both of the fans, huh?
Yeah, yeah, there's two of us.
Yeah.
Wow.
Did I see the convention look?
Good for you guys.
What's that?
Did I see you at the convention?
Yeah, you did. Yeah, I saw you briefly.
That was just like at that table at a Denny's, and it was just us. So.
is that one booth? Is that one booth in the corner? Yeah, exactly.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
That was the fan con, huh? Nice.
That's it. It's called Nash Con. Get it right.
So if you're going to talk to Lingo, you got to know the Lingo. Come on.
Yeah. So anyways, it's funny, and really, it's just enjoyable.
Cool. Life of the Party is in number 4 spot in its second week, bringing in $7 million, so it's probably disappointing its producers, with only $31 million total. And Breaking In, $28 million total for $6.5 for the week. Which one's Breaking In, Tim?
That is the one that is almost like Panic Room, except the mom who is played by
Gabrielle Union.
Is trying to get into the house because the... Yep. People, the home invaders have her kids.
That one actually looked interesting to me. I liked the different twist, and I love Gabrielle Union.
Yeah, she's wonderful.
Yeah, she's good. Yeah, she's good.
But it made me want to.
Okay, well, next week, the box office will be completely different once Solo hits the theaters.
What? What's coming out?
Something's coming out.
Small little independent film called Solo. It's a Solo movie, just, you know, all by itself.
Never heard of it.
You guys ever heard of that?
You guys, announcement.
What?
Next weekend I won't be able to record because I will be at Star Wars Galactic Nights at Hollywood Studios celebrating Solo.
You gonna get me a pin?
So bye. Yeah, I'll get you a pin.
Nice.
That's your consolation prize.
Okay, Lizzie, we'll give you the night off then. Yeah.
Yeah, thanks.
All right.
Well, that's awesome. I'll be doing jealous.
Yeah, it's gonna be amazing. So you'll probably want to watch my Insta story for all the updates.
We will.
All this.
My whole family's going. My brother, my cousin, my cousin's husband, all four of us are going. So it's going to be a big family day.
Nice. Very good.
Nothing better than sharing Star Wars with your family.
Nothing better.
That's right. Because for most of June, I'm going to be gone.
There you go.
I think I'm missing like 3 of our recordings in June. So
What?
And I'm gone the first week of June. I'll be in California.
It's going to be a really boring show with me by myself.
Good luck, Lou.
The month of June will just be Lou talking to himself.
Yeah.
Guys, it's time for discussion. What do we think?
It'll be me talking to myself about something. Yeah, that'd be awesome. Yeah.
You can get two microphones with like a little bit of effect on one of them and just go crazy.
There you go.
You can do side to side. And just,
yeah. You got a sliding chair there, right?
One side or the other side, yeah.
Yeah.
There you go.
I mean, we record in stereo, so if people listen to it in stereo, then they will actually get that effect. So that'd be
there you
like
go.
Really
yeah.
cool. That's Let's the see if same as that in people.
Post for me.
Yeah.
Later this month, we have Action Point in Adrift.
Stupid.
Come on. Adrift might be pretty good.
No. When you say... I've talked about this multiple times on podcasts.
And you've been wrong every time.
If there's a hurricane coming, you don't get on a freaking sailboat and say, oh, I'm going to try to get across the ocean. You just don't do that.
It wasn't That's going stupid. That direction. Okay.
It's not an okay. ad for doing that thing,
it's
by
an
the
ad
way.
For being stupid.
It's a story. It's a true story of survival.
Stupidity.
And love.
Stupidity. Love, like they just...
Love conquers all.
Even in the trailer, like they just met each other. How are they in love?
How dare you? The girl from Divergent and
Finn from
Hunger Games belong together.
At the bottom of the ocean.
Yeah.
What?
I'm going to start a petition against that movie.
No one cares about your soapbox.
So we'll move
on,
Tim, so you don't have to be more upset about that. So next month...
No one cares about your soapbox.
Some good movies for this month. We have Hotel Artemis. We have Ocean's 8. Woo-hoo. We have Incredibles 2. Tag.
So excited
Jurassic
for
World,
Tag.
The Hustle in Sicario 2. Yeah. Tag looks pretty good. I think you're right, Tim.
Ocean's
Although
8
I think
and
my,
Tag.
My
I
one
am
there
so
is
going to
be
for.
Ocean's 8 and Incredibles 2. I really want to see those two.
The Tag is what Hawkeye was doing while everyone else was in Infinity War.
Yeah.
It's my headcanon.
He was honing his skills in a different movie.
Yeah, he didn't know everything was going on. He was playing tag.
And then at the end of the movie, just as he's about to tag somebody, he disappears.
He disappears.
That's it.
Can you imagine? Heartbreaking.
Oh, boy.
We can say that now. It's been like 3 weeks, four weeks.
It'll be the end credit scene.
4 weeks at least, yes.
Yeah.
So if you're interested in these kind of movies and talking about what we talk about, we are doing... two things. So we have our own movie draft internally, which I am currently just crushing everybody. And I can say that because my movie is just crushing everything. I have Infinity War. And it's
your
just,
movie.
I'm there.
Your one
I'm there.
Movie.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, hang on. So I may not hold true to that once Andrea's movie's kind of hit the stage because she has...
Andrea is going to win.
What does she have? She has The Fallen Kingdom. Jurassic World. So that's going to do $400 million easy. And on top of that, she also has A Quiet Place, which just crushed it in the box office. Mm-hmm. And Rampage, which did pretty well too. So
yep.
I think I'm not going to hold off this lead very much longer, but I might have a good second place.
Yeah, probably.
And Tim, where are you in the movie draft?
Oh, I didn't play in this one.
Oh, that's right. You have an excuse. You didn't play.
Nice.
Because otherwise you would be last.
Jerk.
But if everybody else wants to play with us, we also do something entirely different, but the same, which is the Fantasy Movie League. If you want to get into that and join us, I think we're almost ready to start a new new segment, aren't we? I think we're at 13 weeks now.
There's one more week left in this season, and then it starts anew. So yeah.
So it's good timing to get in early and be with us for the next segment. You can join us by going to randomchatter.com/FMLinvite and get to play alongside of us and have fun and listen to me bitch and moan when I forget to make my picks because I was busy sewing chainsaws and stuff this past weekend. Yeah, I'm tossed this weekend.
Last week, after like 5 weeks of taking first place in Random Chatter, I went down to 15th place last week.
I saw that, Tim. I saw that, yeah.
15th place. It was absolutely abysmal. My strategy, I won't even say my strategy failed me. I failed my strategy.
So what was your strategy?
I didn't pay attention to... I'll tell you, when it comes down to the strategy in Fantasy Movie League, there's a lot of things to pay attention to.
Oh, there are.
I mean, you're looking at expected box office numbers. You're looking at what is going to be the best performer for the amount of money that's being spent on it. You're looking at how many theaters a movie is being released in. You are comparing that movie to other similar movies that have come out in the past to try to gauge your predictions on it. And then it gets really tough with the big movies like the Infinity Wars, the Deadpools, the Solos, because they break. It's not just that movie that you are putting your stakes on. They divide that up into Friday, Saturday, Sunday. So
did they divide Deadpool up this week?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, they did. Okay. Cause I forgot to play totally. I was like, oh my God, I missed it.
So then you're trying to figure out, you know, what proportion the movie's going to take on what day. And that's challenging in the first week, but then in the second week of a movie like Infinity War, that they still did that in the second week. And then again, in the third week, that's really, really tough. That's challenging. Yeah. So you have to remove your emotions from it too, because you might say, oh, well, that's a stupid movie. I'm not going to get it. Well, it might not be a movie that you necessarily like or a genre that you're into, but you got to play the game. You have to remove your emotion from it. So
it's not about what you like. It's about what you think is going to do well.
Exactly.
And what different groups of people are going to flock to and buy tickets for.
Exactly. So like, you know, last weekend was Mother's Day weekend. And so you have to look at that and think, okay, people are going to take their moms to go see movies. What are going to be
Deadpool
the big too. Mom movies?
Deadpool 2.
Deadpool 2, the weekend before.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah.
And so like that was a big factor. And I did not consider that factor as heavily as I should have. And there's just a lot of different things involved in it. So you really have to dissect it. I mean, you can also just go with your gut and say, I'm going to pick this and this and this and this and this, and you'll probably do okay. But to really compete, you have to do a lot of analysis and stuff, and it can be real challenging. Right now, I mean, I'm probably going to be taking second place in the overall for the season. John is really far ahead, like 30 million or so. And he and I tend to pick pretty similarly. So if he and I have similar picks next weekend, you know, I'm just not going to be able to overcome that. So he's probably going to take first. We'll probably settle in with second, which I'm really cool with, considering I was like in eighth earlier in the season, just because like early in the season, I didn't have my strategy and I was bombing out. So, but it's been a good season. It's been a lot of fun. Yeah, it wraps up in one more week and then we start a new season, but you can get in at any time, folks. And that's the great thing about it.
The overall at the end of the 10, 13 week season, whenever they run.
Yep.
And it changes every season. And I missed 2 weeks this one just because work stuff got in the way and I forgot to play. So yeah, it's tough. I'm way down to 14th place right now, but I lost two solid weeks in doing that. So yep. It's fun though. It is still fun. And you look at it later on and you go, or they give you the two updates. They give you one on Saturday and one on Sunday, I think, right?
Yeah. Yeah, and both around noon.
You get the Saturday one, and it can either make or break your day, and you're going, yeah, or like, what the? And then Sunday comes out, and it's like, oh, now I'm totally different from where I was. So I was like, I don't even look at the first one anymore, because it's never usually an indication of what's going to happen at the end.
And it can be a bummer, because you'll look, and it's like, what the hell? I thought I did really well.
How did I get this? I thought I'd be much better than that.
Or you're like cringing. You're doing a, you know, you're pulling a Liz watching a movie where you're covering your eyes and you're looking through your fingers a little bit while you open up the app to say, oh, how did I do? I'm not so sure. And it's like, oh, I did really well. I'm like third place. So
I've only had that happen once.
Yes, I'm doing really well.
Otherwise, it's like, oh, God, how am I this far down the pack? Oh, well. So let's see. What do we have for news this week, Tim? We have Infinity War news. We talked about that a little bit in our breakdown of the movie weekend. But Infinity War is now the fourth highest grossing movie of all time globally.
4 weeks.
Fourth highest in 4 weeks.
Yep.
That is just nuts. It's at $1.8 billion globally.
Yeah.
It's not surprising at all.
It's not surprising, but it's
nuts. 4 weeks, though? It's nuts. Yeah, I mean, we all knew it was going to do well, but to be that high after only 4 weeks? I mean, come on.
Not surprised.
Come on, Lizzie.
I'm not surprised either, but it is crazy.
I'm surprised it's doing it this quickly. I mean, we know it was going to do well.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, I look at the worldwide numbers right now, and it's at 1.8. The Force Awakens is at 2.0. Titanic is at 2.1. And Avatar is at 2.7. Mm. And those movies, that's after their entire run, not just 4 weeks.
Yeah.
I mean,
This has a lot of potential to really meet up with a lot of those. And
potential, it's gonna.
And like we said, the release in China was, I think, on May 11th. So it had that really big boost after being out for a couple of weeks and all of a sudden surged and basically almost doubled.
Yeah.
In its take. So it's done some really impressive numbers.
It is. It's just... I'm just amazed, but I'm happy for it. It's doing awesome.
Yeah. It's doing some incredible things.
Well, speaking of that, Deadpool 2 took $300 million globally. So it's the highest weekend for an R-rated movie globally. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Made $44 million more than the first Deadpool. I'm going to be interested to see what his drop off is for the second week.
Yeah, me too. Yeah.
I think it's going to be a big, big drop for the second week. Just, you know, word of mouth. It's not, you know, maybe not quite as funny as the first one. Still a great movie. I mean, I really enjoyed it, but I think we're all expecting it to be more than it was, and it just wasn't quite. So it'd be interesting to see what his drop is for a second week. I wonder if it's going to be more or less than 50% drop. I'm thinking more.
Yeah, I can't disagree.
There'll be a significant drop.
Yeah.
Tim, what's this other link you have in your James Gunn sends Baby Groot to congratulate Deadpool 2?
Yeah, so what we've seen, which is wonderful again, is filmmakers congratulating other filmmakers on their successes. And when, you know, Deadpool 2 doing what it's done for R-rated movies while breaking its own record in a lot of cases... James Gunn, who a lot of folks know James Gunn, the writer and director for the Guardians of the Galaxy movies, on Twitter, he sent he had someone create a Baby Groot pool. So a Deadpool kind of in the shape of Baby Groot, congratulating the folks who created Deadpool 2 on their successes in their opening weekend. So, really, you know, just a cute, funny thing, and just wonderful to see that camaraderie among filmmakers. And it's wonderful. It really is. I love it. I think it's a lot of fun, and it's creative, and it's just great to see.
You're seeing a lot more of this, and I think a lot of it kind of stems from Ryan Reynolds doing the promotion stuff he's done for Deadpool and Deadpool 2.
So much.
He's in everything out there trying to become part of it, and it's like now they're all trying to jump on the bandwagon and do the same things back to him, which I think is even better because it promotes his stuff more.
Yeah.
And it gives everybody that sense of, you know, like you said, Tim, the camaraderie amongst all these filmmakers. Mm-hmm. And this baby Groot in Deadpool costume looks pretty cool.
Yeah.
And I think they say how much we the fans react to stuff like that and how much we love to see that, so it, you know, it's like fan service a little bit too, because we love to see that connection way, between. Yeah. Yes. In a good way. Yeah. Yeah. I didn't mean it in a bad way.
What do you have for next year? Oh, what? 355. What's that, Tim?
355.
This is an action movie.
This is something that I will tell you, I had not heard of until I saw the push on this on social media. So this is really being led. This is a movie being led largely from a business perspective by Jessica Chastain, who is an absolutely incredible actress. And she has put together this great lead cast and a director. It's all being assembled under her. She has a production studio called Freckle Films. And so she has assembled, along with herself, Lupita Nyong'o, Penelope Cruz, Marion Cotillard, who I'm not that familiar with, And
she's good. Yep.
And Bing Bing Fan, who she was in Days of Future Past. And she also, interestingly enough, did a role in the Chinese version of Iron Man 3.
really?
But a great slate of actresses. The movie's being directed by Simon Kinberg. And this is supposed to be like an action thriller spy film. So this incredible ensemble cast. It's getting some early comparisons to like Charlie's Angels, but it's supposed to be, I think, taking itself more seriously than Charlie's Angels did. And obviously with basically twice the cast, twice the lead cast. And so you have obviously a lot of a very international flavor to this. And it just, the concept of this looks incredible. So this is what I'm putting out here to our listeners. This is a movie to watch. And so it was just revealed at the Cannes Film Festival. Keep this thing on your radar. It's out on social media. Follow their accounts. Because I think as they continue to build this movie and put it out there, this is going to be a real big deal. And so I just want to make sure that folks have this on the radar screen, because I think it's going to be great. I think it's going to be incredible.
Is there a release date for this? Is it 2018, 19? Do we know?
I don't even think
there's not much on IMDb for it.
No, I don't even think there's a release date for it yet. Definitely not going to be 2018, because they're just barely in pre-production stuff now. So, you know, I would expect late 2019, early 2020. Is my best guess. And Simon Kinberg, who has done incredible action movies.
Oh, definitely.
Is directing this. So
as I'm looking for any kind of tidbit about this on IMDb and other sources while you're talking, one cool thing is, a bit of trivia. The title 355 comes from the code name for George Washington's first female spy during the Revolutionary War.
Oh, cool.
That's kind of cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's neat.
Yep.
And this whole thing was apparently the brainchild of Jessica Chastain. She had some inspirations from it, which have been acknowledged in some of the articles I've read on it. But largely, this was her creation. She's already picked up a screenwriter. I can't remember the woman's name who's doing the screenwriting. But that's already it's in the mode of being fleshed
Teresa
out.
Teresa Rebeck.
Okay. That's starting to be fleshed out now. And, they're definitely moving in the right direction on this. So. And to do the reveal at Cannes is kind of a big deal.
Yeah. So nice. Cool. So it's something we need to keep our eyes on.
Yeah, I'm excited for it.
On a downside, and Tim puts a nice upbeat movie here against a really downer story. Jim Carrey has not had the best of luck with his new film. Dark Crimes has a 0. On Rotten Tomatoes. 0. It's tough to score a 0, isn't it?
You kind of have to try.
Yeah, I was gonna say, it's like, wow. And, it's funny because, Jim Carrey's done all kinds of roles. We all know him for comedy, and that's what he's kind of best known for. Yeah. But he's done serious roles. He's done some very dark roles. I haven't heard much about this besides it's got a 0 on Rotten Tomatoes, but wow, that's got to be a real downer for Jim.
This, and obviously Jim Carrey's career kind of went dark for a little while, and I think he's trying to have a resurgence, and he's trying to show, because like you said, Lou, he has done an array of things, but most people acknowledge him for his comedic roles. And I think he tried to do this to continue to show his range. And apparently the movie itself is seriously, seriously dark, like disturbingly dark. And that, right from the get-go of it, I guess the opening scene is like something horrific with a bunch of prostitutes and some other stuff. And that immediately turned a lot of people off from it. And then I guess like really the whole movie was just kind of a train wreck. So I'm not a huge Jim Carrey fan. He's had a couple of roles that for me I've liked, but I'm not a huge fan of his particular brand of comedy. It's never really done a lot for me.
Some of it's been good for me. Some of it hasn't. And some of his serious stuff has worked well. Some of it hasn't, you know. Some of it was just stuff I didn't really care to see, so I didn't even bother.
Yeah.
But, in this article we linked to here, it says, the former funny man's latest, Dark Crimes, begins in a brothel in Poland where screaming prostitutes are suspended by ropes from the ceiling or led around on leashes and beaten.
No.
That's pretty tough. That's
hard pass.
Yeah.
Sounds like it belongs in the vault with The Day the Clown Died. Do you guys know about The Day the Clown Died?
No.
That is Jerry Lewis's unreleased, never seen in the vault, will never be released movie about a clown in Nazi Germany. And it's like this very, as soon as it was like cut, like Jim Carrey or Jerry Lewis was like, nope.
Wow. Really?
It like got put in the vault. It's like the movie my dad talks about all the time, like wanting to see so bad. He's like, I just want to see The Day the Clown Died.
Interesting.
Wow.
Yeah. And so this sounds like this should have been put in there.
Wow.
Wow. Yeah. I don't know. I mean, is this out now, Tim? Is it on video?
Cried. Sorry. It's The Day the Clown Cried.
The Day the Clown Cried. Okay.
It's a Swedish-French drama based on him being this clown in Nazi Germany. Wow. Sorry, keep going.
You got to wonder about certain filmmaking choices. I mean, everyone makes a mistake, but boy.
Yeah.
That's...
it kind of sums up with the last line of this review in the New York Post. Dark Crimes is punishing to watch. That sums it right up, I guess. Wow, that's harsh. Well, Jim, hopefully you try something maybe more funny again. I don't know.
Yeah.
Oh, wait. It says that The Day the Clown Cried, a copy of it was given to the Library of Congress, and under the stipulation that it wouldn't be screened before June of 2024. So my dad's dreams could come true.
Well, so we have to hold on to 2024. Okay.
Yeah.
Well,
there you go. They didn't go watch it.
And you know what? If that's the case, my guess is that it would be public domain. So, you know, I mean, they could simplistically put it up on like YouTube or something.
I know. But part of the thing is that like, why would anybody want to watch it if it was that? I mean, I don't know. I don't feel like I would want to watch it if he felt so strongly about it. As a person who's a fan of Jerry Lewis's, yeah. I wouldn't want to see it.
Yeah, I agree.
Plus, seeing like an imprisoned clown in Nazi Germany, like that doesn't sound like a great movie.
No, it doesn't. And you know, I mean, certainly this thing with Jim Carrey, I'm just not even curious about the film. And I don't mind violence in movies, and I'm actually okay even if there's a measure of violence, even if it disturbs me, so long as it serves the purpose of the movie.
It isn't just gratuitous to be like Jim Carrey's trying something new.
Yeah. If it's doing it just to be in your face and be out there and be all that, it's not worth it for me to see.
Because it's like, you know, I've never had any appreciation for like slasher movies. That's never been a thing. I think it's stupid, gratuitous violence.
Me neither.
It doesn't do anything for me. But then, you know, compared to the first John Wick movie. And I never like to see anything happen to animals, and the dog gets killed in the like opening scene of the movie. And for his absolutely horrible and heart, Lou, go see the freaking movie.
I've seen it. It's awesome. And I know where you're going to go
for
with it.
For as horrible and heartbreaking as it is, that is the thing that defines the character.
Right.
Through not only that movie, but also the second movie. And hey, guess what? They're in production of a third movie. And I guarantee that is still the ultimate motivator for John Wick in this third movie, is because some jackass killed his dog in the beginning of the first movie. That's how it all goes. That's what shaped and
you don't mess with a man's dog
to where he is. And I would probably do exactly the same thing, except I'm not an internationally renowned assassin. Or am I?
You're not. Tim, you're I am. Not. Obviously, out of the three of us, I am. Get over yourself. Also, I have to say that I thought that the whole, like, death of the dog in the beginning was going to be much more gratuitous than it was. And then I was like, Ma, is that it? Okay.
Is that? Wow.
Having heard about it before, I really thought it was going to be like, okay. I was like bracing for impact. And then I was like, oh, I mean, it's horrible that the dog dies, but I thought they were going to like show like,
oh yeah.
I hadn't heard about that until after I saw it. I'm like, oh my God.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's horrible, but it's not like they were really graphic with it. So
no. The act is horrible, but the graphic isn't. Yeah, agreed. I just was bracing for impact that I didn't need to brace for.
Right.
And I think...
And then I was like, oh, all right.
And I think that's also a big thing with violence in movies, too, that sometimes you don't have to show it. Especially if you're trying to build a suspense or something like that. There are ways, you know, great directors can incorporate some pretty hardcore violence, yet not even show it. I mean, you have audible cues, you have off-camera visuals, you have all sorts of things that you can do without getting into that slasher movie brand of violence, which is just silly and stupid. And
you know who's good at it? The people who make Handmaid's Tale.
Oh, are they really?
Just a circle back around.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But and we've said it before about different things, and not just slasher stuff, but a lot of stuff can be insinuated or implied in such a way that your own brain takes over and knows what happened and gives you a much more horrific image in your own head than what they could even show you on screen.
Oh yeah,
and much more believable. And not in the slasher type aspect, but Jaws and Aliens. Two things we talk about where the shark didn't work, so they had to work around it, and they couldn't get the guy in a rubber suit to look good in the Aliens, so they worked around that. Uh-huh. And it was like both those were just like for a horror movie, Alien was like, oh my God, gave you nightmares when you first saw it, when you were little.
Oh yeah.
And likewise in movies. I mean, I'm not a huge fan of like Tim said, gratuitous violence just for violence. But if it's scary and it doesn't have to show me all the gore to make it scary, I love that, So, yeah, I think Jim needs to work on what he's doing next. Something better than what he had done here, I guess.
Like, I understand actors want to break out of, being typecast, especially, now we're seeing just so much more of people having... not getting as typecast as definitely back in the day. So I understand the desire to want to break out of that. And I even I like to see that when it's successful and it really works and you're like, whoa, I think of Eternal Sunshine of a Spotless Mind. I feel like is very, for Jim Carrey specifically, isn't he in that movie?
Yep.
That one I feel like is a divergence from his normal shtick. And
oh yeah. He's done a lot of things like that, I thought, that were, well on some levels.
Right. And, didn't have to be, just balls to the wall, dark and horrifying. I don't know. I understand the desire to want to break out of that, but I also, maybe take your time with it, bro. Be in a campy horror film and get there eventually. I don't know. It's just, a lot of Hollywood boils down to making money, and this just doesn't seem like it. Who was involved in this to be like, yeah, let's hookers hanging from the ceiling. Jim Carrey is right for that role.
Yeah, that's, I have a feeling he was probably behind most of that. Maybe
I'm
was
sure.
his baby. Was he doing this one to?
But where are all the people that were like, hey, no one knows you for hookers in the ceiling, so it's going to be really. Confusing to people that there are hookers on the ceiling now because no one knows you for that. Hey, remember when you're talking out of your butthole in Ace Ventura? That's what they know you for.
Hookers hanging from the ceiling.
Not a lot of hookers in Ace Ventura,
Lizzie,
right, guys?
I wish they had consulted you before we made this movie. I really do.
I would have been able to add a little bit of a flavor to that conversation that might have been missing. Hey, Jim, we get it. Dude, you want to be darker. We're on board with that, but just maybe not the hookers on the ceiling thing.
Yeah.
I don't know. They could be off the ceiling and it might work out for us. Not on the ceiling.
I think this one kind of doubles for our What Were They Thinking segment.
Yeah, I think so, yeah. Because it's right up there. When he took that role, what was he thinking? Yeah.
I mean, that role, Hooker's hanging from the ceiling, all that stuff.
Does Jim Carrey just need a hug? Is that what's happening here?
Possibly.
Someone should hug him. He needs a hug, I think.
Well, we got one last story here. And I'm going to give this one to Tim because Tim's probably read this more than I have. And I didn't read this article yet. So, Tim, tell us about this lawsuit that Stan Lee has filed.
All right. So Stan Lee has filed reportedly a $1 billion, that's with a B, lawsuit against.
$1 billion.
Yes. Sorry. $1 billion against POW Entertainment, which is a company that he started back in the early 2000s. And essentially what he's alleging here is that he was tricked into signing the contract that he signed when he sold the company off, or when he sold his shares of the company.
Did he trick himself into signing it?
Well, there were partners.
It was his company, Stan, if you signed this. Oh, okay, really? Okay.
there were partners in this, and, you know, basically they put a contract in front of him. His shares were being bought out by a company based in Hong Kong, I guess. And there were certain provisions that were in this contract that I guess he didn't realize until after he signed it. He's saying that they took advantage of his poor eyesight, which I certainly feel bad for. But I mean, if you're selling a significant portion of a company, you should probably have your own legal representation look it over. So I'm not trying to pass judgment against Stan Lee, who is obviously an incredible icon, but to say, well, wow, I was taken advantage of because I have poor eyesight. Well, I'm pretty sure your attorneys don't have poor eyesight. So there were a number of provisions in here, one being that the company and the new ownership of the company would have rights to continue using his name. That's kind of a big deal. Stan Lee, everyone knows the name Stan Lee. I mean, even Penny from Big Bang eventually came to realize who Stan Lee was. Not Stan Lee who? So, you know, I mean, he's a powerhouse. Part of this also was that in his suit claims that Powell was also given the right to use his social media accounts, particularly Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook, which is interesting because once I read the article, I realized, hey, I remember like within the last week that on his Twitter account, Stan Lee has said that he's actually started running his Twitter account. Like he had a post saying, hey, this was my first tweet. You know, he would usually have a publicist or an assistant or something like that run his social media stuff. And so now he's taking the initiative to do it himself.
Okay. Well, that's cool. Because you're right. Sometimes you wonder if these big high profile accounts are being run by the real person or by you know, a media company.
Yes, you can tell the difference, though.
In a lot of cases, you can. So
in his case, particularly, you can.
Yeah. So, you know, this is just real interesting. I mean, obviously, you hate to see anyone being taken advantage of by any means, particularly folks who are older, folks who may have certain disabilities or medical conditions, that kind of stuff. So I'm definitely not, you know, saying, putting anything against him for that. The only, like I said, the only thing that really comes to mind for me is that he should have had legal representation looking through these contracts and advising him on this stuff. But maybe there was some other circumstance that precluded that or something. I don't really know. But nonetheless, it is reported that he is filing this $1 billion lawsuit against POW. So we'll see where things go with it.
It's a bit strange to have something like that come up with this kind of a dollar figure attached to it, but you know, blaming your eyesight on something, you're right. It just seems awful weird.
Yeah.
That he wouldn't have had his legal team look this over, read this before he signed it and sign it. I mean, if it was me, sure, I'd sign things, but you know, I'm not worth what Stan Lee's worth.
Yeah.
There was a story, like, I don't know, a month or two ago about his family, like,
Yeah, and that got kind of that like upended, went away. That it really didn't happen. He came out and denied some of that stuff, and I don't know.
I didn't know if that was a contributing factor, because when you get older, like I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, someone was taking advantage of him at some point down the line. He's very old.
Yeah, it's sad to say that, you don't know what his real day-to-day life is like and what he's doing on a day-to-day basis, right, and how much of it is himself. All we see is the snippets of him in, you know, Marvel cameos movies. In Marvel movies. And it looks great. But, you know,
mess
it's like,
of
okay,
a Twitter right now.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's great that he's gotten control back, but you can definitely tell, like, he is just, like, writing. He's like an old grandma on Facebook. She's like, comments on, like, my grandmother on my photos will write a message to me. She'll be like, hi, honey, I forgot to tell you this story on like a picture of me wherever. And I'm like, grandma, that's not what this is for. Like, that's how I feel like a lot of his tweets read. I'm like, oh, Stan, no. Yeah. He's like, can someone teach me how to do this? And we're like, what? No, we can't. This is Twitter.
Yep.
Oh, boy. Well, we'll stay tuned and listen to see how that's going to play out. Now, one last thing. I guess Tim is totally hooked on this new game that all the kids are playing.
Yeah, the kids are playing.
Yeah, the young kids are playing. Tim
my
too.
My 12-year-old nephew.
Tim, are you playing against Lizzie's 12-year-old nephew?
Who knows? Probably. Who knows? You play against random people. So we're talking Fortnite here.
You guys introduced me to this right before we started recording tonight, so I have not played this. It does look fun. I think I might try to pick it up and see if I can beat up on 12-year-old kids.
Fortnite is an awful lot of fun. For those who aren't familiar with it, the core mode of it is basically like this standalone mode called Battle Royale. And it's essentially you versus 99 other people on this island, which is like a, you know, Earth analog. There are cities and towns and buildings and forested areas and swamps and hills and rivers and all that kind of stuff. It's the animation style is a little cartoony. So it's there's really no like hugely graphic violence, but it is a survival game. So if you kind of think of, oh my gosh, the movie just left me. What's the holy crap.
Tim,
we need some detail about it to help you, man.
The movie series where they're tributes. They volunteer to be tribute and
Hunger Games.
Yes,
the
thank
Hunger
you.
Game.
Oh my
that's
god,
movie,
yeah, total like total brain issue there. So it's good. Almost like a Hunger Games kind of thing where you're all dropped on this island and you have to survive. And so you can run around the island and you find weapons and essentially like health and shield power-ups and that kind of thing. And there's also an environmental adversary. So it's not like you can just find a place and hide out until the end. What there is that there's a storm and the storm is dangerous to your health. And the storm comes in from outside the island and you don't know where essentially the eye of the storm is going to settle in. So it constantly keeps you moving and your adversaries are moving. You can get resources in this to build forts. So you're building walls and ramps and that kind of stuff, which can help, you know, fortify your defensive positions. So this is available on Windows and iOS, for Mac, PlayStation 4, Xbox One. And like just a couple months ago, it came out on mobile and it is fantastic on the iPad. I've been playing it a bunch. It's a lot of fun and it's cool. So, I mean, it's
how long do the games last?
Well, you can drop into the wrong place and get immediately killed. at most, you're looking at like, I think 20 or 25 minutes if you actually play out to be like in the last, you know, the final two or three people who are playing. It is a free-to-play game, this particular version of it. You can pay real-life money, but those are for cosmetic things only. You're not buying weapons or anything like that, so it is not a pay-to-win. It's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun. So it's really cool.
Now, do you gain stuff you can use in the next battle?
No.
Or is
no.
it? Oh, it's start from scratch every time, huh?
Everything is individual battle. The only thing that you drop with is a pickaxe. And that pickaxe, yes, it can be used as a weapon, but primarily it is used for you to harvest resources. You can cut down trees with it or bash walls. When you actually like parachute in onto the islands, you can control where on the island you parachute into. So you can land on the roof of a building. You're using your pickaxe to get your way through the roof.
That's
and
cool.
Because in a lot of cases, there's hidden resources and weapons placed within buildings. And sometimes there are rooms that you can't actually get to without destroying a wall or the roof or something like that. You can get to elevated positions by building ramps. It's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun. And it's a very accessible game, I think. It is not overly violent. You're not seeing any blood. You're not seeing dead bodies. But you are, you know, shooting at people. So.
Nice.
So.
Nice.
Yeah. Well, so give it a shot.
To waste time on, I guess.
Oh, absolutely. You will waste a lot of time on that game.
Thanks, Tim. I'm not busy enough at work as it is.
You're welcome.
Well, I think that brings us to the end of the episode. We did pretty well keeping to about an hour here. So unless anybody else has anything pressing they want to add in, we'll just wrap things up.
That's it for me.
I take that as a no. Okay, good. Anybody wants to send us feedback, the best way to do that is to send an email to us, sending one to randomchatter@randomchatter.com. Goes to all three of the hosts, and we sometimes respond.
You can also find us online elsewhere. Twitter is a great place to find us. You can catch the show and, in fact, the whole network with our handle, which is @randomchatter. You can also catch our hosts individually. Lizzie, where can they find you on the tweets?
I am @nerdinthecity.
And Lou?
I am @Lou Skywalker without the E.
And you can find me on Twitter @QuigonTim. That's Tim with two M's. You can also find us on Instagram, @randomchatter.
And you can find all of our shows at randomchatter.com. Make sure to listen to all of the other ones that we have, as Tim and Lou mentioned in the beginning. We've got a lot to offer. And once you've listened, you can go ahead and spread the word by leaving reviews on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play. There's lots of different ways to do it. And then also spread the word by telling your friends about us. We would love that.
That is a huge help to us. It's also a huge help if you contribute some money, if you're able to do so. You give us cash, we give you prizes, basically, is what it comes down to. RandomChatter.com/Patreon is the place to go to find out all about this. And yeah, literally for every donation that you make to us, we give something back to you. Foundationally, that starts at $1 a month. That is the minimum donation you can make on Patreon. And while you might not think that's a lot, it is a huge help because we have a lot of people who contribute that $1 a month. We also have a lot of people who contribute at higher levels too, but that $1 a month is kind of our core group. And when you have a bunch of people contributing that, that's a big help. What does it go to? We have web hosting fees. We have data storage fees. We have some different administrative costs. We have bills that we have to pay, just like you do. And as an organization, we're trying to not have that money come out of our pockets as we're paying those bills. So it is a big help when our listeners are supporting us. So if you like the stuff that we're doing here at Random Chatter, not only the show, but across the entire network, which is now like 15 shows, 16 shows, something like that. It's something insane. Like that. We've got like something for everyone pretty much. And if there's something that you're looking for that we don't have, let us know. And who knows, maybe we have it. We actually have some shows that are in early stages of development where we're still kind of developing concepts and looking for hosts and that kind of stuff. So, you know, there's always something kind of in motion here. But with Patreon, again, $1 a month, that will get you what we give you for that is full access to our Discord community. You can get partial access to Discord for free. So if you go to randomchatter.com/Discord, you don't quite want to make that financial commitment yet. You can get access to our lobby and to our show channels. So we have a channel set up for Random Chatter. We have one set up for Echo Base. We have one set up for Tight Beam. We have one set up for Fangirl Confessional. So there's show rooms set up for each of our shows, and you can talk to the hosts and to other listeners about a lot of the topical things that are discussed in those shows. But if you want full access to Discord, just $1 a month through Patreon, that's it. That's all it takes. If you decide you want to contribute more, that's cool. We really appreciate that. $2, $3 a month, that's awesome. You'll still get that access to Discord. If you want to jump to some of the benchmark levels, $5 a month, $10 a month, that will get you access, early access to some shows. That will get you exclusive access to other shows that the public isn't getting. That's only going to our exclusive members. And we greatly, greatly appreciate it. Our listeners are our sponsors, and it's a huge help. So thank you very much.
Well said.
There you go. And the music you hear on Random Chatter is The Perfect Heist by Blue Stolly.
And that does bring us to the end of the episode. Thanks again for listening. What?
I have one final question, Lou.
Oh, gosh.
Go ahead. Are you a good witch or a bad witch?
Tim.
It's like we can't ever get control.
This is why we can't have nice things.
It's why we cannot have nice
tornadoes.
Things. It's
tornadoes
all
prevent
because
having
him.
Nice things.
Tim.
Somebody shut him down.
Everybody.
Shut it down.
We're out. Can't work in these conditions.
Are you broken?